It's just something that's been on my heart this week. God got a hold of me. I was having a conversation with a young man, and God gave me a thought, and I got so excited, I said, I'm going to have to pull over and write this down. Can you hold on a minute? And I like it when God speaks to me like that. So we want to read this scripture. We're going to read Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 1 through number 10. We're going to try to go through the scripture and give you a historical review, a doctrinal review, and then we want to take the scripture and look at how it applies to our life, because it does, okay? So in Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight and it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Now, first thing I want us to do, if you got your Bible, and we don't have time this morning to cover it, but I would encourage you to read the 16th chapter of Jeremiah. Read the words, the strong words that come from the Lord to the prophet. And I'll just give you a summary. In the 16th chapter, if you go back, it is the sign of the coming captivity of the children of Israel. They were disobedient to God and they did not serve God. And I want to read just the 11th verse in that chapter. It says, "Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." Now you can read the rest of the verse around it, and you can see how serious a condition that the children of Israel were. They had disobeyed God, they had rebelled against God, and the Jeremiah the prophet was spoken to and told the signs of the coming captivity. If you go into the 17th chapter, what you find in the first six verses is the sin of Judah as it is described. Then the 7th verse down through the 18th verse, what you find, again, it is repeated, the blessedness of trust in the Lord. Now I want to tell you, if you study your Bible, you read Deuteronomy, and you read the 6th chapter and the 8th chapter, you'll see again and again what God said. He said, if you'll serve me, I'll bless you. I'll pour out blessings on you. And sometimes it's like this, blessings you will not even be able to contain. And what he read here in the first few verses in the 17th chapter, he said, you know, it's not only that, but I can turn any captivity, any problem, any pain, I can turn it around. I like that scripture where it talks about our God the Father will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. I want that in my life. Now, when you get into the 18th chapter, we find this. It is the lesson. This is what we want to talk about this morning. The lesson of the potter. Now, I want us to review the text for just a minute. Sometimes you read over things and you go too fast. Let's break it down and let's understand what the Word of God is saying. In verse 1 to 2, it says this, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and it told him," God spoke to Jeremiah, "and he said, go down to the potter's house." Now, if you could imagine the times that they live in, somebody mentioned a minute ago about going to Walmart. They didn't have Walmart. They had a blacksmith that they would go to when they needed things made out of steel. Well, let me tell you, they had a potter's house. And when you go to the potter's house, it's where you would go to get the things that you ladies now order from Pampered Chef. Okay, they didn't have internet in the Pampered Chef. They had the potter's house. And they went down there, and the potter would be working, almost constantly working a work on the wheel. It was a trade that he did where he traded with people for other goods. And it's almost like this. You go down to the potter's house, and you need a new pot for water. When you went down there, you might have a dozen eggs, and you'd take them and you'd trade them for that pot. That's just the way that it worked in these times. Now, here if we see in the third verse, Jeremiah, he went down to the potter's house. And when he got there, the potter was making a work. He was making a pot on the wheel. Now, when I begin to think about this, I remember when I was in high school and I was in about the 12th grade, being in Mr. D4's class over at Lithia Springs High School, I took art. A lot of people wouldn't believe it, but I used to be really into art. Now, you probably laugh at this. Now, young people, y'all just listen. Don't take any advice from this, okay? When I was in the 9th grade, they told me that I could get a scholarship for art. I was an artist. I got paintings hanging all over the place when I was in middle school and high school. By the time I was in 12th grade, they said, if you don't straighten up, you're not even going to make a C in this class. I had what they call senioritis, okay? Once I got my first job, it turned into buck fever, but that's a whole different story. But I can remember being in Mr. D4's class, and we had one of those that you would sit down at a stool, and you had a tray, and it put water in it, and it had a wheel under it. And as you sat there, you'd kick that wheel, and you could control the speed with your foot, and it was weighted. And you would take a lump of clay, and you would slap it in the middle of the wheel, and it would just be a rough glob of mud when you began. And you would begin to work that clay, and you would take water in your hands, and you would touch it, and you know you had to spend time with it. And here's what I want you to understand, because we're going to get into this. In order for the clay to be molded, the potter's hands must be on the clay. Okay? And I remember watching my teacher. He would make stuff, and he would teach us, and he would talk about the different things, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But I can remember sometimes when you would be making something, you'd find out that there was something wrong with the clay. The clay might have lumps in it. Because when people would make stuff and you would get through with it, if it wasn't right, you know what you did? You had a big garbage pail over there and you'd take it and throw your clay in with everybody else's. Now, folks, there was clay in there that was already dried completely, and it would make lumps. And they would put water in that big pail, and they'd put a top over it to keep that clay where everybody could use it. And sometimes when the potter was working on the wheel, he would feel those hard lumps. Or there would be air bubbles. There would be things in that clay that where it just has not been. If y'all understand, you ladies make bread. Some of you do. Now, I know y'all don't make bread over here. Everybody know what it makes to knead bread? You'd have to take that clay and you'd have to work it. And you'd have to work the air bubbles out of it. You'd have to get all the lumps and all the hard spots out of it. And you'd have to pick them out and you'd have to clean it so that you had a piece of clay from the beginning that you could mold. Now here's what he's saying in this verse, in the fourth verse. The vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. Now, here's Jeremiah. He's sent down to the potter's house. God sent him down there. He walks into the potter's house, and the potter is making something. And about that time, the vessel is marred or it's crushed in the hand of the potter. He had messed it up. He had ruined it. And here's what the scripture says. So he made it again. Another vessel as seemed fit unto him. So what did he do? He started over. He just kept working. Now I want to tell you, thank God for Jesus. Amen. We played a song a little bit ago. I'm going to get to it in a minute. Thank God he hadn't quit. Thank God. But as Jeremiah's standing there, it says this, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is the way God works. Sometimes God allows us to see things, and through His Holy Spirit, He speaks to us, and He gives us a lesson or a message. See, here's what happened. God let Jeremiah see something so that he could show him or tell him something. You see, you never take for granted any day of your life. Somebody made a comment to me this morning, today is the best day that we have. You know why? Because we may not have tomorrow. And I made the comment, I said, this may be the last time I preach, so I want to preach like it. Now look at what it says in verse 6. This is what God said about His people. He said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. So let's look at verse 7 and 8. And let's read those words again. He said, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation or a kingdom to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do with them. Now here's what God's saying. If you'll repent, then I'll turn. He basically said, I can make all the armies of the Philistines, all the armies of Syria, all the armies of those around about you, I can turn them back. I can stop the famine. I can cause rain to come from heaven. I will and I can bless you if you'll repent. But look at verse 9 and 10. He said, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it, and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, and it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, when I read that, he said, basically, if you don't serve me, you've been serving. You read the 16th chapter. He said, you've been serving other gods. You've been walking away from me. You've rejected me. And the scripture says that our God is a jealous God. He said, if you turn from me, judgment's going to come. And you say, well, why doesn't God just love us? Well, He does love you. Why doesn't God just care for us? If He's a God of mercy and goodness, why do we read these things in the Bible? Let me give you an example. Kendra, I need $100. And she says, why? I said, look, I just need you to bless me with, bless me with $100. Why? So I can take my girlfriend out. Do you get it? You get it? We want God to open the winds of heaven and pour out blessings on us. But we don't serve Him? He's telling Jeremiah, I'm not going to do that. Now that's what this scripture is talking about. But let's look at the doctrinal understanding. Do you ever look around you at our nation and see all the things that are going on and wonder what's holding the Lord back? You ever look around you and say, why hasn't Jesus already come? Sometimes I do. You ever look around you and say, why hasn't the wrath of God fallen down? When you see laws passed that are basically infanticide, where they say that a baby can be born and if the mother wants to abort it, they lay it on a table and let it die, and even pass the law where the doctors cannot be charged. We wonder what's holding back the mercy, the love of God. I'll tell you, it's the praying people. Amen. See, I believe Jesus is coming. If Jesus is not coming, here's what I want you to understand. Judgment's coming. Yes. Why? Because if it didn't, here's the doctrinal understanding. Here's what I want you to see. Number one, God is in control. He has the ability to bless, and He has the ability to curse or to crush. It's like when that pottery is on that wheel, and the hand of the potter grabs it, and he could just take it up at any time. I want to tell you, at any time, people say, well, America's this, America's that, we got the strongest economy, we got the strongest military, we're this, we're that. I tell you what we are, we're blessed because this nation was founded on biblical principles. That's what we are. We're blessed because there are still churches today like this one where Jesus is lifted up, where the gospel is preached. We're blessed because there are still families that gather with their children around the bed at night and say prayers and thank God for their blessings before they put them to bed. We're blessed. Now consider what the scripture says. And consider our world today. There's a verse in the book of Psalms, a very simple verse. It's in chapter 9 and verse 17. And this is what it says. It says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Now you can open your Bible and you can find that. I don't write any of this stuff. But when I read that verse, it troubles my heart, Brother Tom. It makes me say, "Lord, have mercy on the United States of America." It makes me pray for our leaders. It makes me pray for our church. It makes me pray for the workers in our church. It makes me pray for the lost. You see, the truth is God is not mocked, forgotten, or rejected. The Bible says very clearly that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I also want you to understand this. God is not through with Israel. God has a plan for Israel. And if you don't believe that, you just read your Bible, you pay attention over there. There's a lot of things going on today that are absolute fulfillment of the scripture that are getting things lined up for the Lord to return. Now I'm just going to give you a nugget. You can look at this because I don't have time. You go to the 19th chapter of Jeremiah. The next lesson is the lesson from the broken pottery. I don't like that lesson. Now let's look at this from a practical application. You know, when we read the Word of God and we say it, I've had people try to tell me this, and we were having some discussion about it this morning. They say, "Well, you know, Jesus didn't walk in this age." I remember one time a guy specifically said to me, and I was at a church working when he said it, he said, "Jesus didn't walk in 1985. Well, this is 2019. If you'd asked me then, I thought we'd be in spaceships by now. People say, "Well, Jesus didn't walk in 2019. That Bible is no longer relevant. No, it's absolutely relevant. Because God does not change. He has not changed. He will not change for any man. He is still God. He still is in control. And He will return like He said." Now the way we apply this to our hearts and our lives is we must understand that Jesus is the potter. And that we are the clay. Now here's the first thing I want you to see. And I want to share some things with you. The potter has a plan for the clay. Now, to reach the plan, the clay, as I mentioned, it must be molded. And I just want to give you a few thoughts about molding and being molded in the hand of the potter. The first is a place to be molded. In order to be molded, you simply must remain in the hands of the potter. That means God has to have His hands on you. You see, the first thing, and I think it's a prerequisite for me to become what God wants me to do, the first thing I've got to do is accept Him as my personal Savior. I must accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And from that time, I mean, you get saved by the grace of God, you're different. Okay? But you then have to be molded. And God will begin a work in your life. And the scripture says that He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here's what I believe about that scripture. God is going to be working on me as long as I'm alive or until Jesus comes. If I live to be 100 years old, here's what I want you to understand. I will still be learning and God will still be molding me. What He's going to be doing, He's going to be teaching me and He's going to be getting all of the imperfections out of me. But you got to stay in the hand of the potter. See, sometimes what we need to learn and understand, and I'm still learning this, is sometimes the only thing that you are required to do is to remain absolutely still. You can't figure it out. You can't work it out. You can't make it happen the way that you want to. But the worst thing that you can do when God has his hands on you is get up and run away from the hand of the potter. Sometimes all you really need to do is just stay put. See, what it means to be still, honestly, is simply to do absolutely nothing except pray. Nothing. That's hard for us to do. But if you go over and read in the scripture, God told the children of Israel, he said, you be still, I will fight for you. Be still. And sometimes what people do is they are not comfortable being where they are in the hands of the potter. And they'll leave a church. They'll leave a relationship. They'll leave a job. Sometimes before God says move. So I want to tell you personally, I have been in situations in my life, in church, in relationship, in job, that I didn't like where I was at and I wanted to move. I remember being in a church one time. I said, God, I don't like this church. I don't like the pastor. I don't like the assistant pastor. I don't like the way he talks. One time the pastor said something. I grabbed one of them red books. I ride back. I meant to hit him right between the eyes. My wife said, you can't do that. You're a preacher. You know what was happening? I want you to understand something. God had his hands on me, and he was molding me, and he told me to be still, and I just didn't like it. I knew I couldn't leave. I said, God, please let me leave. He said, no. But I want to tell you something. You know why sometimes we get in trouble? We get to listen to self more than we listen to the Spirit of God. And we won't remain in the hand of the potter and let God do the work on us. We can't fix ourselves. We can't teach ourselves. We must remain in the hand of the potter. See, sometimes what we just need to do, and I want this, this is very important, young people. Sometimes you got to have commitment. And you got to have enough commitment that you can hang on, that you can hang in there, and you just tie a knot. Have you ever said, it's tough, but if I die, I'm going to at least die right with Jesus? That's when it gets rough. And I say this sometimes, and it's true. You'll know when you made a mess. You make enough of them, you'll begin to understand it before you do it. You know why? Because you'll be walking over the Spirit of God to do it. I've told my wife, she said, well, we got tough decisions to make. Well, next year we'll know if we did it right. She said, don't say that. I said, well, if we don't know, let's just be still. Let's just be still and wait on God until we know that we're doing the things that God wants. See, you got to have a place to be molded, and the place is in the hand of the potter, nowhere else. Then it takes a knowledge to be molded. Now, this is not our knowledge. It's God's knowledge. You see, the scripture says that when the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again. Another vessel has seemed good to the potter to make it. And here's what I want you to understand about you and your relationship with God. God knows. God knows. There's a song that we used to sing, and here's the way it goes. It says, God understands. He knows all about me. He knows all my failures. He knows all my plans. He's willing to help if we will just follow. God knows all about me. Yes, God understands. I like that song. You know why I like that song? Because sometimes it's heavy. And sometimes I at least need to be able to look up to my Heavenly Father and say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know the difficulties. You know the challenges. And God, I need help. I can't get help in this world. I'm not going to this world. I'm going to my Heavenly Father. That's why these altars are always open. And no matter how big this church gets, we're always going to have a place where people can come and talk to God. We played a song a little bit ago, from the parish, and we may play it again in a minute, says this. Says the potter knows the clay. How much pressure it can take. A few more times around the wheel till we obey his Father's will. He'll make a glorious or a beautiful design, one that will take some fire and time. It's going to be okay because the potter knows the clay. You know, when you think about that last stanza of that song where it talks about fire and time, here's something else it takes to be molded. It takes work. There's a write it down statement that I wrote down, and I wrote this down before I ever even had children. I've still got it. It says, if you want to grow up to be a beautiful rose, there has to be some pruning along the way. You know, I don't like the pruning, but sometimes what God has to do when he looks at us and his relationship with us is he has to come and he has to take the things away from us that are taking the life out of us. And if you understand the work and the fire that comes from the potter's hands. I mentioned a minute ago about the lump of clay and how it slapped on the wheel, and as the potter begins to work, I've seen this happen more than one time. I've experienced it myself. But I can remember my teacher, Mr. D4, and how he used to sit. And I remember one time that there were some boys in class. They wanted to get out of class. They wanted to go to the gym, or they wanted to do this, and they wanted to do that. And they had that same disease I had, senioritis. And he said, you go sit down at the wheel. And he said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, you make a pot just as tall as you can make it with that lump of clay. And he said, then I'm going to come over and I'm going to make it twice as tall as you made it. And if I can't make it twice as tall as you made it, then I'll write you guys a pass and you can go to the gym. And they said, you got it. They thought they had him. And they went over and they began to mold that clay and they got it up about yay high, and they smiled and said, all right, beat that, double that. But you know, I want you to understand something. We can't mold ourselves. We must be in the master, in the potter's hands to ever be everything that we can be. And I saw him sit down at that wheel and he got this. You know what you got to do? You got to have the speed just right. You can't go too fast. You can't go too slow. Some people grow at different speeds in their relationship with God than others. We ought not judge one another. We ought to help one another. Amen. He sat down and he got the speed just right. And then he got the moisture just right. And he started working that pot up. And he changed it. And he got it up. And you know, they even come over there and measured it before he got started. And as he was going up, I noticed he would find a lump and he would slow down and he would pull that lump out of the clay. And when it got hard, where there were spots in it where it wasn't mixed up, he'd put just the right amount of water on it. And when he needed to speed up, he would speed up. And when he needed to slow down, he would slow down. And I saw him get that pot about that tall and it was beautiful, and he shaped it into something. And those guys went, ugh. He said, now y'all go over and get to work. The hard places in us must be softened. What does that mean? If you compare that to the potter, I want to tell you, every one of us has got something in us that needs to be dealt with. It's a little bit of greed. It's a little bit of pride. It's a little bit of selfishness. It's a little bit of lack of forgiveness. It's a little bit of unrighteousness. It's a little bit of thoughts that we shouldn't have or words that we shouldn't say. There's something in every one of us that we must remain in the hand of the potter in order for him to make us into what we should be. Sometimes the air bubbles got to be taken down. You know, sometimes when you're molding a pot on the wheel, and I've done this too, you're molding it and it's coming up and you feel it. There's a little bubble in there. And it takes some work. Because sometimes what you'd have to do is you'd have to take a little wooden stick and you'd reach inside and you'd bust that air bubble. And sometimes that's the way it is for us when God reaches down and he pricks our heart and he lets us know it hurts. But it's necessary. And he would burst those air bubbles and he'd begin to shape it again on the wheel. You know the Bible says to be not puffed up with pride. You study the Bible, six things the Lord hates, seven are abomination to him. The number one thing is pride. These things were necessary because if you didn't get those hardened spots and those bubbles out of that pot, we would get through with that pot and we'd take a piece of wire and we would cut it with a wire, like a piano wire. Then you'd take it over and you let it dry. And the next place that it went was into the fire. You see, for you and I to ever be able to withstand the fire and to be strong and to be what God wants us to be, you got to get those pots out of you. Because if you take that pot and you put it in the kiln and you heat that heat up, I tell you what's going to happen. If there's an air bubble in there, or there's a hard spot in there, that pot would explode. And the reason that pot explodes is because it cannot withstand the fire unless all of those imperfections are worked out of it. You see, the Lord is still working on me. It said it takes fire and time. It takes time to be molded. But I want to tell you this, aren't you glad that God is very patient?
Yes, amen.
You know, there are times that I might get a little impatient. I'm trying to be. Trying to be patient, you know, when things go wrong. You ever got a call, and this is, you know, with all these teenagers, parents, y'all need to get ready for the calls. I want to be the kind of dad that when my kids call, they know they can call me. I don't care what it is. I've told my boys, I said, I don't care what you do if you get in trouble. You call me.
Amen.
You call me. I will come. Remember one time my wife was in an accident a few years ago. Pretty bad accident. She hit a truck almost head on. She was crossing traffic. And she called me. She was very upset. And I talked to her and I tried to calm her down. Later she said this to me and I didn't much like it. She said, "You get so upset about the little things, I thought you'd really be upset about this big thing." And I thought, what kind of message am I sending? See, because she had an accident, I was more concerned about her. I want to tell you something, folks. It'll pass.
Yeah.
That new car is going to get scratches on it. It's going to get door dings.
Yeah.
Your daughter's going to drop lotion on the seat.
Yeah.
And you ain't going to be able to get it out. I've been through that too. Don't put makeup on in the car, okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. They're going to do it anyway. God's teaching me patience. Aren't you glad God's patient?
Yes.
And here's why. Y'all know the little song? He's still working on me.
Yes.
To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Amen.
What about the verse? It says, in the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am, and he helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and I'm the clay. See, I'm so thankful, which leads to the next. You got to surrender. Now, I'm going to be done in just a minute. You got to surrender. This is your part. This is all you can do. By surrendering, you say, Lord, I want to stay in your hands. I want to stay in the hands of the potter. That could be church. That could be position. That could be not running from God's place for you. Because here's what God's place for you is. It's God's place of provision. It's God's place of protection. It's God's place of direction. And it's God's place of intervention in your life. Now that's a whole other message. But if you're in the hand of the potter, he's going to take care of all those things. And I want to quickly give you this. And we're going to ask for a song. If you're not being molded in the hand of the potter, what or who is molding you? Because something is. You see, you're either being molded by the hand of the potter or you're very likely being molded by one or two things, by this present world or by your own selfish desires. Amen. If it's not Jesus, it's one of those things. I want to give you the greatest danger any person could face. Is no more potter's hands. No more. It's when God says, if you don't want my hands on you, and you're going to keep kicking, and you're going to keep squirming, and you're going to keep rejecting, then I'm going to take my hands off of you. I liken it unto this. I can remember walking into the nursery, and I used to love when Kendra. When Kendra and I first got married, she worked in the daycare, and I'd go down there and I'd play for the kids. That's back when I could go lay on the floor and they could pile on my back. I loved that. Can't do that no more. But I'd lay down on the floor, kids would pile on my back, I'd play with them. I'd walk in the nursery, and I'd see one with a little frilly dress on, oh, so cute, and I'd pick them up. I remember one time I picked up a little girl. She slapped my glasses off. She poked her finger in my eye. She got me by my tie and about choked me. She beat me till I finally put her down. That's a true story. But I said, well, if you don't want my hands on you, Lord, I get it. You know, that's the way it is in your relationship with God. You can either allow God to put his hands on you and mold you and love you and work on you and get the imperfections out of you and the pride and the air bubbles and all the things that shouldn't be there so that you are a vessel of honor unto him. Or you can do like Israel did, and you can just serve other gods and do your own thing. So God says, if you don't want me, that would be the greatest fear of my life, is that God would no longer want to put his hands on me. I want to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet, and I want to ask you to consider the potter's hands. I want to ask you to consider where you're at in your relationship with God. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is there anything in your life that you need to talk to him about? Maybe you want to surrender to him. Maybe there's something that you're going through with fire and time. It's very difficult. You just need to talk to Jesus about. As we play this song, if you feel like praying, these altars are open. Would you come?
I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. But even harder is the one you need. Is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain. But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's submission to him.